careful and troubled about many things. But the one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. In chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Pray with me now, Father, I ask for your blessing upon the words of life. God, help us now. And this time that we have, this moment, may it be a very sobering message to encourage our hearts, the inner man, to feast with thy word and to be in that secret place. I love you, and I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I know you don't have to have me, but I'm in desperate need of thee, so I ask for thy endowment from on high. God, help me. In Jesus' precious, wonderful name, amen." You may be seated. Again, I count it an honor to be here, and I thank the Lord for your young people. I love this church, and I love you. How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. The midsummer sun shines but dim, the fields strive in vain to look gay. But when I am happy in him, December's as pleasant as May. You know the greatest thing about the Christian life is Christ. The greatest part of the Lord Jesus Christ, this ministry that we get to fellowship with him. It's sad, but it's easy for us to get busy, and we mark busyness as a mark, as a sign of spirituality. But just because you're busy in the work of the Lord does not mean you're a spiritual person. What many times gets lost in the busy, the hustle bustle. When I look at this church, there's no doubt about it. Some of prized Christian people go to this place. I'm honored to be around you. But God help us, it's so easy to neglect the inner man. God has made us as spiritual beings. We are who we are because we're made in the very image of God himself. We're made in the divine image of him. And when you think about who we are, we're spiritual people. And God, who is a spirit, he's not flesh and bones, but he's a spirit. And they that are spirit, who we are, we must worship him in the spirit. And this is neglected often. Worship is at the heart of all we are and all we do in the Christian life. Worship is at the heart of all we are and do in the Christian life. And it is foolish for us to work for Christ without communing with Christ. And I'm going to tell you this. Dedication without devotion is dangerous. Dedication without devotion is dangerous. Here in the Bible, we find this sweet text of Mary and Martha. Yes. And Jesus shows up at the house, and the Bible says, notice verse 39, "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Verse 40, "But Martha was cumbered about much serving." Martha, she starts getting everything ready for Jesus, the preparation for Christ. And the Bible says that Martha begins to get bothered at the fact that Mary is sitting also at the feet of Jesus. It says that she came and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful." For the next few moments, I want to preach on the one thing that is needful. The one thing that is needful. Now, we must understand that Mary is not a bum here. It's not that Mary is just loafing around the feet of Jesus.
There's a key word that has to be identified in verse 39. It says that she had a sister called Mary, which, and here's the key word, also. You see that in the Bible? Look at it. Also sat at Jesus' feet. Meaning not only did she work, but she also sat at the feet of Jesus. She listened to Him speak. And let me tell you something. He wants to speak to you. My sheep hear my voice. God loves to speak to His children. He loves you and He wants to speak to you and He wants you and Him to have divine fellowship. It's an amazing thing we have this fellowship with Jesus Christ. But oh, Martha, she gets bothered by it, complains about it. Jesus says, I'm not taking this away from her. And you know what? Anytime you get alone with Christ, He always meets you. He'll never leave you in that moment. You can't take that away from anybody fellowshipping with Jesus. And look, here she is. She says, Lord, I don't understand it all. She says, and Jesus tells her this. Notice, He says, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. The word careful there, you cross-reference and you'll see that verse where it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication. Spurgeon said, don't be careful, but be prayerful. Carefulness is anxiety, anxiousness. He said, you know what? You've got a lot of anxiety. You're real anxious and you're troubled about many things. Now look right here. When you get busy for Christ and you work for Christ, you carry your Bible, you come to church faithful, maybe you get here and you clean, you do some odd things around the church, and you stay busy, and you stay busy, and you stay busy, and you stay busy, but you neglect the inner man, you're going to get full of a lot of trouble. And a lot of carefulness. A lot of marriages get in hard situations, not because they don't love Jesus, not because they don't go to church, but because they've got full of busyness and they've neglected that inner man, that most sacred place where they fellowship with Jesus Christ. Listen, we've got to also sit at the feet of Jesus. And when was the last time you had some time with Jesus? It's not accidental that we walk right into the next chapter and the Bible says that Jesus is praying. His disciples come and see Him and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. It's not accidental that the Bible points out as John, who Jesus said, greatest prophet to live, John also taught his disciples to pray. The power and importance of a prayerful life keeps you from a careful life, a troubled life. We see here how needful it is. And I want to point something out to you. We see that Jesus, the emphasis many times when we walk into Luke chapter 11, we get lost into the example of the prayer, which is great. It's there for our example. We learn that we should pray for His kingdom, His name, His will, not us first. It's about God's glory. And then we ask and trust. We see the great thing of intercessory prayer, but don't misunderstand and see the powerful part of verse 1. What does it say about Jesus in Luke 11, 1? It says, and it came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place. If you're going to have a devotional life, if you're going to have a devotional walk with Jesus, you're going to have a special place and a special time. Can I ask you a question? What's your devotional life like? Do you just stay busy for Christ? Because that leads to a lot of troubleness. Where is it that you meet Jesus on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays? Where is that special place where you commune with God and walk hand in hand? Jesus was at a special place in order to have a true devotional life, in order to know what it is to sit at the feet of Jesus. You've got to have a specific, special place and a special time. Yeah. Do you have one? Where is it at? Can you take me to your house and show me the spot? Is it over in the living room where the window shines in? You get that special recliner and you meet the Lord Jesus Christ with your Bible in hand. Is it a special spot out in town, a park that you love to go and visit where you walk with the King of Kings? Where is that place? If you don't have a place, you're missing the great secret of the inner man with Christ, that great place with Jesus. Are you troubled tonight? Is that marriage having some troublesome? Is there anxiety in your life? I'll tell you what you need. You need Jesus. You can get lost in the work. And you can be dedicated and disciplined, but without devotion, you're dangerous. And we wonder why pastors quit the ministry. We wonder why children run off from God once they're out of the house. It's because mamas and daddies have misplaced that special place with Christ. I believe every special place has got to have a special time. What time do you meet the Lord? You got to mark a time down. You can't just drift into it. Well, you know, I'll meet you sometime, Lord. Need to nail it down. Is it 7 a.m.? Is it 7:30? Look, when I wake up, I have to take a shower first. I can't meet the Lord until I shower. Can I get a witness? I'm a mess. I need a cup of coffee sometimes, too. Give me an amen right there, you know. But I tell you what, the most valuable thing in my life, the thing that I covet more than anything else, is my time with Jesus. Ian Bounds said, it's better to let the work go by default than to let the prayer go by neglect. Let me tell you something. You've got to get to the place in this life to where you value your time with Jesus above anything else you'll do for Jesus. That inner man. Every good quiet time with God ought to have at least these four things. You ought to have a time of confession where you tell the Lord sins in your life. A time of confession. Start your quiet time out. You get that special spot. You met him at 8 o'clock after the children have gone on, whatever. And now, Lord, is there anything between you and me? And he'll show you. He's so good at it. And then you have a time of praise. Lord, let me just tell you some things that I'm grateful for. Still God. You've given me the Holy Ghost. The veil's been rent in twain. How glorious it is to be able to know you and pray and fellowship with you. Thank you for yesterday, how the sun came up again today. The mercy's all new. Woo! And then you need to have a time of Scripture where you take the words of life and you read it. And you see what it says and you ask yourself questions. What does it mean? What's it say? It doesn't matter how much Bible you read if it don't get in you. Meditation is for the head, but memorization is for the head, but meditation is for the heart. And you got to think about the Scripture and get it in you. Observe it, apply it to your life. I talk to the young people about SOAP, S-O-A-P, Scripture, Observation, Application, Practice. I like to write it down as I read it, and what this means, and what's he saying here. Ooh, this sticks out. Did you do that for me, Lord? He wanted me to see that today. He goes, I sure did, son. You need it. And then the last thing is a time of prayer. Maybe you got a journal and you got your pastor's picture on it. Seriously. I learned a lot from my grandmama. I got one of my grandmama's prayer journal. You can open up that prayer journal and there's a section with Jean Mims, the pastor of her church back in the 80s. Cut out of the Cleveland Daily Banner, and there's his picture pasted. And underneath it, things she's praying for, the man of God in her life. Turn the pages, you see her family, she's praying. Turn the pages, you see friends, she's praying. Turn the pages, you see lost people, she's praying for. The greatest thing my grandmother ever taught me was how to meet Jesus in the quiet moments of life. Oh, listen, how tedious. How tasteless are the hours when Jesus no longer we see. Martha, you're troubled, aren't you? Careful about many things, and you're so troubled about many things. What you need to do is meet Jesus at his feet. Do you have that quiet place? Have you neglected it lately?
What you need to do tonight as you have the public time of prayer is renew in your heart that private time of prayer. Oh, how God will thrive in this place. I'll tell you this, I'll close with this. Did you know 1 Corinthians, as we read about the carnal church, they were carnal, but they were carnal because they were carnal Christians. You'll read in verse 9, the key of it all. He says in chapter 1, verse 9, that they were called to the fellowship of Jesus Christ. We become carnal when we miss the greatest calling on our life is to fellowship with Jesus Christ. Nothing more important, more viable you'll do in your life. Oh, God, help us. So many people are hypocrites, Pharisees, because they're so busy about work and they don't know what it is to spend time with Jesus. They work in the flesh and miss the greatest thing about it all. I'm a Christian because of Christ. The Christian life, it's all about Jesus. Let's pray. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Appreciate you letting me share my heart. Can your children point out the quiet place in the house where they see their daddy and mommy meet God? Ma'am, does your husband know where you meet the Lord Jesus Christ? And is it something that's a regular basis that your husband can say, oh, she's at the feet of Jesus, I see her. Sir, can your wife tell you, oh yeah, honey, I know where your spot is. Are there times in the day where somebody says, oh, don't go in that room, he's in there with Jesus? Or are you living a life that seems tedious and tasteless? Or are you living a life where there's anxiety, troublesome carefulness? That special place, nothing's more important in this world than that special place with our special Savior. I ask you tonight, if you already have it, keep the fire. And if you've neglected it, repent and go back to your first love. I'm going to turn over to Pastor Chamberlain while heads are bowed.
With your heads bowed and eyes closed, this altar's open if you need to come and spend some time with the Lord. I wonder if you've gone all week long. We were here together on Sunday. I wonder if you've gone all week long and you haven't picked up your Bible. You haven't spent time in prayer. Can I say it's not just that you're missing it? But I believe God's missing it too. He so desires to spend time with us. I believe I could say majority of our young people every morning. And it could have been just because it can't, but if we can get a habit into them. Well, I looked at it this morning across the cabin, outside on the deck, young person after young person sitting there with their Bible, spending time with the Lord. You say, I'm hit and miss. Now, why don't right now you just tell the Lord that and say, Lord, I'm going to get better at that.